Got it.
All right. Let's see. Yesterday was a big deal because Andrew was in the wagon. Did you have fun driving the wagon yesterday, Andrew?
It was fun.
It was fun. Okay. Good job. Did you park it?
I tried.
Put the emergency brake on?
I pulled both of them.
Good. All right, thank you. Here it comes now, as a matter of fact. There's the wagon. Inside the wagon, there's always a celebrity, and the wagon doesn't need to be driven by the celebrity. The celebrity sits in the wagon holding on to the teeny tiny lady in the pickle jar. If you don't know what the heck I'm talking about, we have no time to go back for you, right? The show is now, like, multi-layer, like coming in the middle of an episode of Mission Impossible when I was a kid. Missed the first 10 minutes. You had no idea.
My best ideas?
Yes.
I have them, but I don't think about having ideas. That's very strange.
Understand?
It's like electronic flashes, something like this. Suddenly would go, also during the daytime.
Okay.
In the bathtub. I have sometimes the best ideas in the bathtub.
Right.
Very strange.
Back from the dead just to be on the show.
That's
Carl
right.
Lagerfeld.
Your doppelganger.
He has some of his best ideas in the bathtub. Does he wear his glasses in the bathtub? What are you doing? Okay, okay. Don't worry about it. I'll get to it. And you're jumping all around, make me nervous. These millennials, they get all hopped up on something. Here we go. Marcus Shoup, Bingo, bringing you the know-it-all quiz, which we're going to bring you in about 30 minutes from now. But we need you on the phone. We need someone to play. Here's the way it works. You have to get two questions right if you agree with me on political points of view. If you agree with Tom, you've got to get four right. 1-888-973-5476. 1-888-973-5476. If you don't want to play, but you just want to try to date Jacob, you can do that too. 1-888-973-5476.
What? Do you want me to hit him for you?
Tom. Nothing wrong with a little bit of, you know, kind of in the morning show. 1-888-973-5476. There we go. Tell it's Friday. Boy, this kombucha's got more alcohol in it than it normally does. We spiked it.
Andrew, can you give me Marin's number?
Oh, please. Please. The stuff you say on this show? So, Michael Shoup, Bingo, bring you the know-it-all quiz. You're going to get yourself two tickets on Saturday, February 23rd. I hope you're doing nothing because you're really going to enjoy McCall Hall and the Seattle Opera's presentation of The Revolution of Steve Jobs. You can learn more by going to opera.org. Oregon housing squeeze. They set stage for a statewide rent control. Rent control kicked in the first time in New York City right after World War II. So many guys were coming back from serving this great country that they were pouring into New York, and the prices kept going up and up and up and up. And New York said, hey, let's put rent control in place. Let's cap it. And so they did it in New York. They eventually took it away. They took it away in Boston. But it's coming back in, and it looks like Oregon might actually have this thing pass, and they will cap it at what? So if you own an apartment, you can't raise the rent above what?
7%.
Okay.
The idea is here, and by the way, it still exists in New York State, but cities can choose whether to operate. So they still have it's allowed. But individual cities can make that distinction themselves, finally. So, yeah, at this point, it looks like it's passing. It's gotten through one of the houses. It has to get through the other house. And then the governor says they will sign it. To me, the most curious thing, because I know that Republicans in general, conservatives, are against rent control.
And so are liberals.
And a lot of liberals are in favor of it.
No, a lot of liberals are also against it. That's what makes it such a great story. Go ahead.
Well, maybe. What's interesting about this case, though, is that at least in the AP story, the landlords are on board with this in Oregon, at least the ones that testified. The Oregon Rental Housing Association, which represents small-scale landlords, said the measure, which is the one that's being passed, protects good tenants while not encouraging landlords to leave the business and invest their money elsewhere. And there's a quote from the group's legislative director, most landlords will be able to adapt and operate within the parameters. That, to me, is stunning because I would think this would be such a political battle that anybody on the landlord side, because basically their profits are being restricted by rent control, that they would be dead set against it. But at least in Oregon, they say, no, these are reasonable. We can work within these parameters. And so it sounds like it's going to happen in Oregon. It would be the first state in the union to do this.
The landlords here are nervous, and here's what they say. Yeah, it's 7% now. Have they built into the law that it cannot go down? Because what you can eventually start to do is can't raise more than 5. And then a couple of years later, you know what? You can't raise more than 3. So does it lock it in at 7%?
Oh, I see. Okay.
And that's the big concern. Because I think the way this thing is written, they can move it down if they want. So you let everybody in at 7, right? Like the frog in the hot water. It's okay at 7. We can do that, plus inflation. I think they also put inflation in there, don't they? We can run the business with that. But once they start bringing that number down, that's when you have the problem where people go, I'm not going to build another building. I can't make any money. So then you don't build more. And without more buildings, you don't have supply. Demand stays where it is. The prices go up.
Okay, but then I got to ask you, because I know you don't like rent control philosophically. Let's say it's in perpetuity for all time. Like, if it could be guaranteed, would landlords, the nervous landlords in Washington, be in favor of that? Because even so, it still is a cap on some of their profits. I mean, it does inhibit some of their profits. So anyway, that's an interesting attack.
What inhibits their profits the most?
I don't know. You tell me.
Competition.
It sounds like you know. Okay.
Competition inhibits your profits. So what you really want to do is you want to encourage building. Like, for instance, right now in the city of Seattle, they'll give you 2 months rent free. They'll give you this. They'll give you a free workout card. They'll give you an Orca card. Plus, they'll give you 3 months rent. The reason they're giving you 3 months rent is because they got squeezed. The ones that have recently got into the building with the apartments, now we have an oversupply. So, right, it's always that balance between back and forth.
Sure.
So you want more building. If you get more building, you get more properties, you get more competition. That's what stops profits.
When the government comes in and determines
that this is going to be the price, you're locking in poor people. You lock them into an apartment that they then don't want to have to leave because they're getting a better price on it. There's a great study that was done in New York. They said most of the people that have rent control in New York City are actually rich. It doesn't really help the poor people. The poor people are stuck in a Section 8 housing. We like to warehouse them all in run-down tenements run by the federal government. The greatest quote I ever saw on rent control was, next to bombing, rent control seems to be, in many cases, to be the most efficient technique to destroy a city.
Well, New York City hasn't been destroyed, John. And I'll tell you, from my daughters live in, it's rent protected, whatever mm-hmm. it is. There's a limit about how much they can raise. It's not actual full on rent control, but it's rent protected.
Yeah.
And they're not millionaires. They're not getting rich by any means. The thing here right now, what Portland and Oregon in general is responding to is, much like Washington, there's this influx of people, and the people that are there are being displaced. And the idea is that you have to have enough people to be able to live in the places where they need jobs. One of the employers there says, we need to have affordable housing because I cannot, fulfill my staffing because people can't live close enough to be able to work for me. And so we need to adjust this. It's responding to a particular issue
here. Build more buildings.
I don't know if that's really an option.
Cost.
If you're building buildings and you have to come in from Federal Way and you're working at a job in Seattle, the commute itself could be impossible. And so it might be land restrictions as well. But that is something else they're working on, too.
That's what I think it was Prop 10 in California. They got shot down. They were looking to be able. And I think the housing folks, the rental folks, spent like $60 million. That was also going to be rent control. So they're still looking at it. How can we control it? It's just it's easy economics. If you tell somebody you can't make as much money as you're hoping to make, they're not going to be involved in that. Or they'll go somewhere else and build houses somewhere else, right?
Unless if the rent control becomes more popular, this might spread. There are a number of states that are looking at it, especially on the West Coast. There is an affordability issue. Then this might be a partially a way of the future. And I think if you can work with the landlords to figure out how is it that the landlords in Oregon are okay with this?
Yeah,
that would be that'd be interesting.
That's good as long as you can't move it down.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, that might be the solution.
Would it work here in Washington?
For some families, there's a very fine line between living with a roof over their head or living on the streets.
I'm a single mom of 6 children. I was married to a soldier for 16 years. And unfortunately, I'm now the sole provider.
For Jadina Hart, she walks that fine line every month.
I was promised affordable housing.
For years, she tells me she lived in her complex without any issues. This year, that changed.
It went from 1 month my rent was $615, the next month my rent was $1,270.
It forced her to make hard decisions.
2 of my children had to be pulled from college.
Unfortunately, hard decisions are common for a lot of families.
You just never know when you come home if there's going to be an eviction notice on your door and if your kids are going to be the ones to see it.
These people and their stories just make up a small portion of what many families face in Washington.
We need lawmakers to react to this crisis with urgency.
Aaron Fenner works with the Washington Community Action Network. Fenner says hearing Oregon is set to pass statewide rental control gives her hope.
know that lawmakers in Oregon are listening, and maybe that'll help lawmakers in Washington and across the country listen.
This is not the answer. This is not the answer at all.
James Young is the director of the Washington Center for Real Estate Research at the University of Washington. He says rental control can create more issues than it fixes.
And the thing is, the side effects are often much worse than what you're solving.
Side effects like fewer housing options and poor renter-landlord relationships. For families like Hartz, all they want are answers and to know where they're going to be sleeping next month.
I thought there was a thing you weren't allowed to raise your rent above a certain percentage every single. You have to give enough warning.
Yeah, that's, yeah,
yeah. Like 10%.
At least that's like that. That's one of the conditions in the Oregon law.
Mm-hmm. Is I lived in a rent control building in New York City, 94th and Broadway.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh, what?
That was the worst.
You mean bad conditions or cheap horrible. Rent? Or
well, cheap, rent. Yeah. Yeah. It was three of us living in there. It was still crazy prices, but oh my God, the elevator didn't work. The thing was just a mess. They were next door, people just threw their garbage out the window down into this, you know, empty sort of lot. And I told you that. The toilet broke, called the guy. No, nobody ever came. So we ended up using a hole in the floor and stuck the girl's flannel shirt. Guy goes into the, we had a party. Guy goes into the bathroom. He has sex with his girlfriend. They break the toilet, okay? And we find out the toilet's broken.
Yeah.
So a friend of mine goes, well, we'll just call the landlord. Get in. I said, they know who's going to come. So we take the toilet, we throw it down into the lot next door where everybody else throws their garbage. And the girl left her flannel shirt, which we then took and used as a stuffing sort of device to stuff the methane gas from coming up through the hole in the floor. So if you wanted to go to the bathroom, you had homage to the girl, pull her shirt off the floor and do your business. Welcome to New York City.
Yeah, but welcome to New York City. You broke the toilet, John. Keep that in mind.
That wasn't me.
No, it's not the landlord's toilet.
I didn't break it. Some other person broke it.
I know, but you were responsible for inviting people to have sex in bathrooms. How disgusting.
John. I didn't invite
What kind
that.
Of people do you Tom, invite to your parties?
It was a railroad apartment, which means it's a long hallway thing, and the people were in other rooms. It was a crazy time. It was the 80s.
Okay. But you do agree to jack somebody's apartment
price
from $615 to $1,270,
come
like
on.
Double it in one. Okay,
come on. I think that's illegal, and maybe I think there might be another part to the story.
Okay.
Cubs plan to take the $2.5 billion back from California High Speed Rail, which I think is 10 years behind and triple in the cost when they realize, wow, we can't build this thing like we promised. Even though we told the folks in California, we're going to build this high speed rail all the way from San Francisco to L.A. It's going to be great. You don't have to get in your car. You don't have to take a plane. Turns out that the California can't produce it. New governor comes in and says, you know what? We'll make it much smaller. We'll just do a little segment over here. How about we do something like that? And then Trump comes in after they went after him on the emergency thing and said, oh, by the way, hey, we won our $2.5 billion back.
So $929 million was coming to them for this big super duper thing that they're now saying, oh, we cannot afford that right now. We're going to put that off. That's one thing. I can see the Fed saying, okay, well, if you're not going to use it, we're going to take that money back. But the thing is, they're going back to get the $2.5 billion that set up the entire project, you know, behind. They said that's never
good
done. Luck. I don't know how it would happen. But, they say it's kind of like political payback.
And the news just breaks about an hour ago that R. Kelly, rap singer, indicted with 10 counts of aggressive sexual abuse of a child. Is this one kid or many kids? The stories about this guy have been around for a long time.
Yeah.
And now they finally, it looks like they got him.
Nearly two decades of allegations. And guess who maybe have gotten him? Your favorite lawyer.
Who?
Michael Avenatti.
Really?
So Michael Avenatti apparently has produced a newly discovered video that allegedly shows, again, he's innocent until proven guilty, allegedly shows him having sex with a 14-year-old girl.
Mm.
And his first court date is March 8th. He'll be singing the national anthem. Oh, no, he's singing the national anthem. There's just a picture of him singing the national anthem. Mm-hmm. The idea is here that maybe if this can be established, who the girl is in the video and her age, they might finally have something. And he's been battling these for two decades, and mm-hmm. he's managed to always kind of, you know, escape by. There was one criminal trial where he was not found guilty. There is a, as they call it, a hashtag Mute R. Kelly campaign.
Uh-huh.
There was a big TV show just recently, a documentary called Surviving R. Kelly, where they interviewed a lot of his supposed victims and all of this. And so it's like, yeah, the 6-part film, how does he manage to skate by? Mm-hmm. Maybe Michael Avenatti has found proof that could trip him up.
Avenatti was in the news yesterday because a guy that works for the IRS took Michael Cohen's tax stuff and released it to Avenatti. Did you see that?
No,
guy works at the IRS, works in the government, takes the stuff. finds out Cohen's different sort of tax things that are private between the government and the client, and he slips it over to the guy. And ends up catching him. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right. So anyway, that's the latest. And then the other, in other sex crime news.
Right to that, that would be Robert Kraft, who owns the New England Patriots. He's being charged in Jupiter, Florida, for a prostitution bust. He went into one of those things with a happy ending. Looks like he did not have a happy ending.
Or maybe that's what got him in trouble.
They have videotape.
Oh, yes, I know.
But of him going in there or him actually receiving the services?
It says, the video that we obtained, it shows the act took place. That took place. So it sounds like they've got something sexual on inside Kraft inside the spa receiving the alleged act.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so this is just what's embarrassing is that he is one of the richest guys around. He's one of the best known owners of the premier franchise in the NFL, and I'm sure he's mortified. The one thing we didn't say is that the reason he got caught in this as a sting operation was they think this is a major sex trafficking mm-hmm. outlet. Not that he wouldn't necessarily have known anything about that part of it.
Right.
That's why the feds were after it.
Girls in China, South Korea see an ad in the paper saying earn $6,000 a month with free housing, move to L.A. They do. They follow up. Somebody comes and picks them up, takes them to wherever they need to take them to, and then they're told you're going to have sex with guys. Now, if you don't follow through on that, we'll report you to the police and they'll send you home or throw you in jail, or we'll tell your parents that you did this. So what happens is they end up sort of getting blackmailed in there and they get stuck in there. And then in this case, they said that the girls that were working there in Jupiter, Florida were Chinese and not allowed to leave. Is that what it was?
Yeah. I mean, that's how the sexual slavery issue works is that we will transport you for a fee. And then the way you pay off that fee is, you know, through sexual acts, and you end up being stuck there for a long, long time.
Because more and more people are meeting online, it's harder to come up with stories of how we met. Oh, we met on a train, or I ended up dropping a pie on her foot, or I went to play through in a golf match, and she ended up hitting me in the back of the head with a 7-iron. Some sort of fun, happy stories. Most of those have gone by the wayside because, I swiped right.
Exactly. There's not much of a story there. Just to give you some comparison, 1995, the number of relationships that began online, 2%.
Mm-hmm.
In 2017, it's 39%. They think it may be more and more. But that's the idea is that, couples, how we met stories are getting shorter and shorter. It really is true. It's funny how the technology of our times is, changing the kind of – I mean, that's one of the great things. Everyone asks at a wedding or something, so how did you two meet?
Right.
Or when you're just dating somebody and it's – you're missing out on some of the fun. Or you can just describe your first date. I have friends who say they met at Starbucks. Well, they met at Starbucks because that was where they agreed to meet and met online.
And then how was their first date?
I think it was great. They left high on coffee and each other.
Jacob, anybody going to be any good in the know-it-all quiz?
Yeah, I've got a fun guy. His name is Chris.
Fun guy. Okay. Right back. Lake Washington Windows and Doors want to remind you that if you've got cracked seals in the windows or doors, that's money flying out the door. That's hot air, Tom, and I know something about hot air. Get it fixed. Go to Lake Washington Windows and Doors. And also, hey, big shout-out to Muckleshoot Bingo for bringing us a know-it-all quiz. And how about this? We're watching this live on, or what will be live, or is live. Mike's sitting over in the corner scratching at himself.
Oh, yeah, that
like
Facebook
one of those
thing.
Greasy monkeys that doesn't get enough love. How many people are watching us there right there, Mike? Eight.
Single digits.
We like to start low, build high.
We're shooting for triple digits.
Tom, you will admit that by Sunday evening, this thing's got like 3,000.
I know, that's crazy.
Let's meet our contestant now.
I hope it's just not you at home going,
it's Chris.
Quick, quick.
This is Tacoma. He's 29 years young. He walks dogs. And he drinks beer. Hey, he goes to college. He's got a red mohawk and a red mustache, and both are all natural. 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 Thanks for letting us know that, Chris.
He told me this. I wasn't able to confirm it in any way because we only spoke on the phone, but I presume it's true.
Okay. So the drapes match the drapes.
Well, howdy, friends. Thanks for getting way more personal than I thought you would.
All right, here we go. Now, do you walk dogs? You do that for a living, or just do that as a hobby?
No, it's like a side gig, like literally just for my beer money. I'm in school right now, so kind of, you know, like $100 a week kind of pays for the fun stuff while I'm doing academics outside of that. I haven't had a real job in like a year.
Okay.
Are dog owners put off by that mohawk, or are they compelled to hire you because of it?
Well, I walk, like, it's through an app, so half the time I don't even meet the owners. It was just like, hey, show up at this house at this time, you'll go in, and then you walk their dog. Like, it was always kind of weird meeting them because you expect no one to be there. So, like, when you go and you're trying to unlock their door, and then they open up the door, you think that they think you're trying to break into the house because you're not expecting to see someone there, but, you know.
Especially with a mohawk.
Right. Explain to me, is it like 7 inches off your head? Is it 15 inches off your head? Do you have to be concerned with going through bridges or parking garages? I mean, how big is it?
So it depends, right? Because I've got really curly hair, and if it's like...
A curly mohawk.
It's not that bad, but easily it can get to like 4 or 5 inches if I undo all the clothes.
I see.
It's like I'm in the light pocket.
Remember I said 3,000 people will watch this? I could adjust that number. All right, everything we've established about you, Chris, we call it a friendship, but it's not really. Because the tone and tenor is about to change now. You ready?
You're always ready.
All right.
Wrong!
All right, here we go. How many does he need to get right, Tom?
3.
Why 3?
Because I don't know if he leans left or right, so we're going with 3, right in the middle.
Here we go. Chris, we're going to play a bunch of cuts for you from the show. These are stories we've covered all week. Tom read this quote from a newsmaker this week who said this.
I am expecting a call from the officer in charge to explain what happened.
Who said that, Tom?
A, Jesse Smollett. B, Tim Eyman. C, a nearly naked man covered in peanut butter in a dog park.
Can I ask what John would answer?
Yeah, you can ask that. I would say B.
I'll stick with C. I like that one. No, we'll do B. Let's
see. Here we go. 2, Hannah Scott joined us for a story about a man from Republic, Washington who had written a book. The newsmaker tells us why he wrote the book.
When I saw the lack of response from other police chiefs and sheriffs, you know, in the beginning, that prompted me to write the book because I needed to get my point of view, my perspective out to them, give them what I felt with the situation and why it violated citizens' rights.
What was the sheriff in Republic, Washington concerned about, Tom?
A, the right to eat roadkill. B, the right to bear arms. Or C, the right to be half naked in a dog park covered in peanut butter.
I think B. I mean, you guys' extra answers are a little less creative this second go around.
You will learn to eat those words, my friend. 3. We asked Andrew, the millennial who lives in the basement, a man of 1,000 voices, to quote a newsmaker this week. Here is Andrew now.
I hate intellectual conversation with intellectuals because I only care about my opinion.
Now, you can either answer this question because Andrew's imitation was dead on, or you may remember who said that. Tom.
A. A man half naked in a dog park covered in peanut butter. B. Now dead designer Karl Lagerfeld. Or C. Maya Angelou.
You know, I actually thought it was Kanye West, but that's none of your answers.
Z? Wow, he's tearing up.
He's 3 for 3. He must like me.
He's got it. Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkin made this promise in her State of the City address.
This summer, we will launch a new program with Seattle Housing Authority and King County Metro to give more than 1,500 low-income residents an unlimited year-round.
What is the mayor offering for free? Remember, she offered it in the summer. In the summer.
A, an Orca card. B, a 7-Eleven Big Gulp for free refills. Or C, unlimited amount of peanut butter to go to dog parks.
Let's do A.
Chris, at no time do you feel... You don't have to give us charity laughs. If you're not really enjoying yourself, it's okay. There's nothing worse. No, no, no.
Damn, you guys keep topping it, you know?
Okay, well, here we go. You ready? A man took last place in a fantasy football league, and under the terms of the league, the loser had to do this embarrassing thing. It involved this.
It took me about 45 seconds to apply it to my whole body.
Mm-hmm. What did he have to cover himself with, and why did he do it? Tom?
A. Covered himself in a sheet and visited a graveyard at night. B. Covered himself in peanut butter and visited a dog park. Or C. Covered himself in toothpaste and visited the dentist.
Oh, B. Final answer.
Five for five, Chris.
Crazy.
Congratulations.
What are you studying in college?
I'm trying to get my bachelor's in nutrition to eventually become a naturopathic or homeopathic physician.
Oh, well, good for you. Where do you go to college?
I'm starting at TCC, but I want to transfer to Bastyr up in Kenmore.
Oh, and good. And what kind of dogs are your favorite dogs to walk?
Really big ones. The bigger, the better. And, like, huge pit bulls are awesome, too. They're my favorite type of dog.
Wow. But when they stop to go to the bathroom, aren't you like, oh, whoa, no.
It depends, right? Like, there's an older dog I walk, and he wants to stop at every single thing to take a leak. And I just, you know, after, like, the first two or three times, I just kind of keep dragging him, and he just has to deal with it.
Okay. You should like small dogs, then. They're easier to drag.
Dragging
dogs. A dog, and he's the most stubborn one. Like, I can't stand it. It's this 20-pound little dog, and he stops me. I weigh 200 pounds. It doesn't make any sense.
All right. Well, listen, Chris, have yourself a fabulous weekend dragging dogs. You're going to go to Steve Jobs, Revolution of Steve Jobs at the Seattle Opera. Are you happy with that?
Hell yeah. I'm also curious, am I still getting a check and a stinky shirt? Because I need to add to my collection.
I will send you a stinky shirt and...
The checks have been bouncing for years.
I'll send you something. I'll send you something off my desk. How about this? How about I send you a new cell phone? All right. Bye. How many people watching now, Mike?
28.
28. That's what they tune in for.
Here you go.
Yeah. The Online Trading Academy text line. 9897.3. Now this is where we hit the camera, Tom. See if we can hit it first. Last time you got it.
Oh, yeah.
No, you stayed. Throw like a girl. And I mean that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, here we go. Oh, shoot.
I'm a bit around.
Yeah. Oh, you are Tom, not that camera, this one.
You're throwing a face.
Got no commercial break. I threw my arm out. Care Partner Senior Living. Thanks a lot for sponsoring the letters. Mom and dad are a member of your family and needs an extra help when it comes to a new community, a new life. How about Care Partner Senior Living? They've got lots of choices for you. Hey, here comes the mailman.
I'm the mailman. As you can see, I'm the mailman. Don't nobody mess with me. I'm the mailman. If you didn't know, I'm the mailman. I bring the mail to your door.
Uh-huh, there's a teeny tiny lady who spends every single day in a pickle jar. What do you think about that, Felix?
Ooh, wow.
Yeah, and here she is now.
Hello!
She can tell us about that letter of the day, but first, let's get started.
Okay, so we'll start off with a pressing question, a challenge, John, that you presented in the very beginning of the show.
I will interrupt this letter with saying that the letter from Andy from the Road Less Traveled...
It's going to stop the show in its tracks. But... Before that,
back to
regularly programming, yes. Whose head would you rather live in,
yes.
Tom's or John's?
Yes.
Easy Ed writes in, whose head would I rather roam around in? Easy answer, as I love Montana and the wide open spaces, so it would have to be, drum roll, Tom, of course.
And Larry West Seattle comes in with, that's a no-brainer, Jacob. It's not Tom's, it's got to be Curly's. It's like flying first class. Plenty of room to stretch out in a small space. Good one, Larry.
Very funny.
Good one.
And Tom filling in on the afternoon show yesterday, I was on with Todd Herman. Nick from Orcas writes in, Did Todd Herman pronounce your name properly even once yesterday? Yeah, I think he got it right eventually. Thanks for asking, Nick.
Let's see. The Robert Kraft, he's the owner of the New England Patriots. Story breaks today that he was caught going to a massage parlor. 425. Robert Kraft is a cheater in all aspects of his life.
And do you want to read number two, too, and then I'll do the third one, or do you want to read Andy's?
I will read. I'm trying to find some response to this one. Here we go. Ready? It's a funny one. Fox Island G for the 253. Kraft and the Pats. How many scandals involving cheating and deflated balls are we going to have to get from these guys? But I'm fine.
That's good.
All right, here we go.
And that will set you up for the following. Andy on the road less traveled. Hi-ho, fellas, and happy friggin' Friday to you. Guys, only you two would call out a fellow from a near-death experience to weigh in, but here it is. Like Mr. Kraft, I lost my own wife many years ago, some time ago. I'm not going to be able to get through this.
Okay.
And it's been just me since.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike Mr. Kraft, I don't have the wherewithal for paid comfort, but I can see the desire for it, if only for the momentary cessation of longing for intimacy,
mm-hmm.
no matter how fleeting. And fair enough, I don't have details if it was human trafficking, and if so, vile, wretched, and shame on him. But if it was consensual trade, what of it? Loneliness is a bitter pill, fellas. Have a great weekend and remember the words of Warren Zevon, who reminds us the hurt gets worse, the heart grows harder.
This from Andy from the Road Less Traveled. Wow.
God.
You all right, Tom?
Yeah, barely.
You ain't blamed for putting that letter in. It's Jacob.
Yeah, I know. Holy smokes.
Wow. Holy Lord. Warren Zevon. I'll just do Obama's thing real quick. John's Kabuche 206 says, John, some kabuches do have higher alcohol content. Oh, no. My 55-year-old sister was carded for a particular kind. Drink up. In John's Front Yard, 425 Curly, listen to your ads. Cars for Kids can remove that car from your yard. And Daylight Savings Time, 425. John, Idaho is in the Pacific time. Don't change till you get to Montana line. That's true. Yeah. Okay.
And 425, won't the sunrise be near 9 a.m. during the winter? Kids might get hit in the morning.
Mm-hmm. 425, oh, for crying out loud, stop with the daylight savings time for health reasons. Don't ever travel to a different time zone than it might kill you. How do people ever survive trips to the East Coast? I like the idea of simple reason that it will get dark an hour later in the winter. Darkness at 4:30 is depressing, but let's not do it unless the other Pacific time zone states do it as well.
On the birth order story, 206 writes in, I'm the second born boy out of five,
mm-hmm.
and I'm the only one that hasn't been in jail.
Oh, wow. Okay, and a good listener of the show. Social media and children, 206, John, regarding sharing kids' photos, I've asked, and I'm told that people really like baby photos I post. I think there's a difference between babies and older kids.
Do the older kids like the baby pictures, though? I think that's the question. Or 206, Curly, I have 47 family members on Facebook.
Uh-huh. And Higgy in Rochester, don't forget about drone parents like helicopters, but with much more station time, like forever.
And 360, parenting should progress from tiger to free range based on age and responsibility.
Uh-huh.
They are all valid at times.
Jussie Somat. How do you say his name?
Smollett.
Whatever. 306 says, can't we just find another actor? We survived two Darrens. Wow, that's going to be Bewitched.
I love it.
Dick York and Dick Sargent.
Steve Jobs Opera, 253. Best part of today's big show,
mm-hmm.
the groovy musical Break of the Day. Loved it. New segment, perhaps. Second best segment, without a doubt, the comedy stylings of Jacob. Good stuff. Loved awkwardly read jokes by Shecky, a.k.a. Jacob. Shecky Green.
Shecky Green. Our audience is, I'm afraid. I don't know if most of them will be alive on Monday.
And now it is time for the letter of the day.
I hope Robert Kraft tunes in. It comes from David in Seattle, waiting to be made famous by this show. Happy Friday, gentlemen. I'm a courier driver and usually listen to your show in between stops. Today, I'm homesick, cough, and decided to check out your webcast as opposed to watching something entertaining or informative on TV. I found watching you live, well, different. I had seen pictures of Tom and John before, but not of Hannah or Jacob the Beard Scratcher. Now I have faces to go with the voices. John, yeah. Hannah seems to enjoy her walk-on music. Mm-hmm. Maybe a new dance partner? Anyway, I just wanted to say how much I enjoy listening to you both. Watching, well, maybe not so much. Thanks for making my day a bit brighter. You're in a class of your own. Well, time to close the webcast. Dory gets on again. Happy Friday.
Out of time. Bye-bye.